Ecclesiastes chapter 6. The key word of the book of Ecclesiastes is the word vanity, or vexation, or vanities. Vanity is found 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity means nothing, a big bag of nothing, unfulfilled. If I use this word, frustrating. You ever had a frustrating day? I want to speak to you this evening on fueling our frustration. Sometimes you know it's going to be a bad day. When your horn sticks on the highway behind 32 Hell's Angels, going to be a bad day. When your birthday cake collapses from the weight of the candles, probably going to be a bad day. When your twin sister forgets your birthday, probably going to be a bad day. Don't know if that's ever happened or not. When it costs more to fill up your car than it did to buy it, it's going to be a bad day. You feel like they're already. When your income tax refund check bounces, it's going to be a bad day. When you put both contact lenses in the same eye, it's going to be a bad day. When you need one bathroom scale for each foot, it's going to be a bad day. I love this. When you call your wife and tell her that you like to eat out tonight, and when you get home, there's a sandwich on the front porch, it's going to be a bad day. When airline food starts to taste good, it's going to be a bad day. When your doctor tells you you're allergic to chocolate chip cookies, it's going to be a bad day. When your imaginary friend files a restraining order against you, it's going to be a bad day. And my favorite, when your four-year-old tells you that it's almost impossible to flush a grapefruit down a commode, it's going to be a bad day. Well, the Bible tells us that life is full of vanity. Life is full of frustrations. But there are some times that we fuel our frustrations. We make it worse. And we find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 6, notice verse 11. Solomon said, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is not what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. He reminds us of the brevity of the shortness of life. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? Seeing there be many things that increase vanity. And it's almost as though someone maybe asks you a list of your favorite foods, and they will mention maybe three or four or five of your favorite foods, and then you'll say, there's many things that I like to eat. There's not many things I don't like to eat. And so what Solomon is saying, there are some things that he spells out in the first five chapters, and then the sixth chapter he says there's many things that add or increase vanity of life. And so what he's really saying is there's many things in addition to the things that I've already spelled out for you. Well, we'll go to chapter 1 and we'll find out five things in chapter 1 through chapter 5. We'll look at five things tonight that Solomon says increase vanity. And he says there's many things in chapter 6 and verse 11. There's a lot of things that increase vanity and make life unfulfilled and make life not worth living, make life empty and vain. But he gives us five specific ones in chapter 1 through chapter 5. And we'll look at those this evening and maybe look at some things. Boy, you know that we live in a world that tells us that the world can satisfy. Psalm 94 verse 11 says, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And the world is all about trying to make us fulfilled and trying to make life worth living and bring happiness. And they tell us that you can find it here, or you can find it here. You can find happiness here if you just had this, or if you achieve this, or you own this, or you lived here, that sort of and a number of things. That if you had this thing, then life would be fulfilling. Life would be purposeful. Well, Solomon says, I look around and life is frustrating. Life is full of vanity. And he gives us five specific things. And of course, as always, he's going to give us an answer at the very end on how to make life fulfilling. Look in chapter 1. We see that, first of all, that discovery in and of itself does not bring fulfillment to life. Notice what he said in chapter 1. Look in verse 6. By the way, Solomon was known for his what? What was the main thing Solomon was known for? He was known for his wisdom, okay? he was known for his wisdom. Verse 6, he said, the wind goeth toward the south and turneth about into the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again into his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full. Unto the place whence the rivers come thither, they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Now, Solomon was known for his wisdom. He was known for discovering things. He was known for figuring things out. He was known for knowledge and wisdom. Skip down, if you would, please, to verse 13. He said, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This is sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Look in verse 17 and verse 18. I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. I'm reminded of a motto, I guess, that a guy I went to school with many years. He was a lot older than me. My sister will remember Johnny Richardson. And back when Johnny graduated in high school, they would put a little slogan or a little motto under that person's name in the yearbook. And I've never forgotten Johnny's. It said, the more you study, the more you know. The more you know, the more you forget. The more you forget, the less you know. So why study? And I kind of adopted that, unfortunately, during some of my high school years. And I thought, well, go forget it all. Then why learn to begin with? Why waste your time? Let's just go play football. Amen. And or eat something or do whatever. Look in chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 15. He said, then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. And so several verses in chapter 1 and again in chapter 2 and again in chapter 12, he talks about it as well, in chapter 12 and in verse 12. He said, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And every student said, amen, all right? Much study is a weariness of the flesh. It is tiring. It is exerting to study. And he said, of making the books, there's no end. I mean, people are always increasing in knowledge, and yet Solomon says that all of this does not bring satisfaction. We live in the most enlightened society that has ever been, and yet we are still unfulfilled, and we still live life of vanity and unfulfillment and frustration, because knowledge in and of itself does not bring happiness. It doesn't bring it. Brother Dave, if you don't mind, would you give me some air over there, please, if you don't mind, please, sir? And a little warm in here this evening. Education and knowledge. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge is in and of itself is not the answer. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he hath taken the wise in their own craftiness. And again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Paul said that God knoweth the way of the wise, and the wisdom of this world is vanity. It does not bring satisfaction. It's amazing the things that you can learn or attempt to learn in our secular universities. I looked at a list this afternoon of things that you... These are actual college courses in state universities. At Columbia University, you can take a course in zombies in popular media. That does something for you. You can take a course in pattern making for dog garments. At Oberlin College, you can take a course on how to win a beauty pageant. At Cornell University, you can take a course in tree climbing. Just come down south. You can kind of figure that one out. Now, some of you may want to take at least a field trip on this one. At the University of Iowa, you can take a course in the American Vacation. Now, I'd go for a field trip on that one, but a whole course in American Vacation. You can also take courses on ghosts, UFOs, and surfing. At the University of Texas, you can take a course on invented languages, Klingon and beyond. Now, Klingon, is that Star Wars or Star Trek? Star Trek, I don't know. I'd watch either one of them. But you can take a college course in invented languages. At the University of California, Berkeley, you can take a course in arguing with Judge Judy. That is an actual college course at the University of California, Berkeley. At Ohio State University, of course, you can take a course in sports and spectator behavior. Whatever gave Ohio State University the right to give that course, I have no idea. We'll leave that alone. And from Pizer College, you can take a course in learning from YouTube. How to learn and get an education off of YouTube. Those are actual college courses that we spend money, some people spend money, to take. And the world, and the idea is that that world will always be ever learning and always seeking new avenues, new things under the sun. Solomon tells us there's no new thing under the sun in verse 9. But yet we keep increasing learning, and yet we learn that education does not bring satisfaction. There's never been a more enlightened and a more educated society than the one in which we live, and there's never been a higher suicide rate than the one in which we live. Matter of fact, the suicide rate is highest. One of the highest suicide rates in the country is in state universities. Why? Because satisfaction and fulfillment and purpose in life does not come from knowledge or from wisdom or from gaining book experience. That's not where happiness comes from. And yet Solomon says twice in this passage in chapter 1, he said, I gave my life, I gave my heart to know wisdom. And Solomon said, when I did, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. It gained me nothing. Matter of fact, James says this in James chapter 3, in verse 13. He said, who is wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. We said a while ago that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that knowledge puffeth up. Not always, but one of the most difficult people you'll ever witness to is an educated person. Because they've got all the answers. I've talked to people who their hobby is reading. They love to read. They've read everything. And those are some of those difficult people to witness to, because salvation is simply by faith. And yet learned individuals who key in knowledge and wisdom, they got to reason everything out. And if they can't reason it out, they're not going to accept it or believe it. And so knowledge puffeth up. James goes on to say in James chapter 3 and verse 13, he said his conversation with meekness of wisdom. Meekness does not typically go with the learned. There's an arrogancy there. There's an arrogancy there with wisdom. In James chapter 3 and verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For envy and strife is there is confusion in every evil work, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Notice he said that the wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The wisdom of this world does not bring about righteousness. By the way, all it does is make a more creative way to be evil. Some of those brilliant people are some of those evil people. And so James tells us that the wisdom of this world is not going to satisfy. James didn't need to tell us that. Solomon had already told us that. That wisdom does not bring anything of in and of itself. He goes on to say in James chapter 3, verse 18, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, and full of mercy. Well, you always find that with the most educated people. A lot of times, even Christians, they take great pride in what they've learned and what they've studied and what they know, and yet they're not easy to be entreated. They're certainly not gentle. They're certainly not full of mercy. As a matter of fact, as a general rule, the more educated a person is, the more critical they are, the more cynical they are, the more unforgiving that they are. And yet, so Solomon tells us that I, he said, I gave myself in chapter 1, I gave myself to wisdom. Verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. And I perceive that this is vexation of spirit. Verse 18, for much wisdom is much grief. He said, I gave myself to knowledge and to wisdom, and all I got out of it was grief. I was frustrated. So Solomon said that the discovery of new things, or discovery of things I did not know, only fueled my frustration. Brought me nothing in life. Notice in chapter 2, not only do we see that, by the way, Romans chapter 1, verse 21 is a great indictment or great characterization of our society. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but notice the next phrase, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to become wise, they became fools. And boy, don't we find that in our society? The more enlightened they seem to be or proclaim to be, the more foolish they act, the more anti-God they become. And yet, it seems like the most wicked of our society has the knowledge and the wisdom of the world, and they say, we're enlightened. And it seems like, it's a fact that the more enlightened our nation becomes, the dumber we get. Common sense has left the building. It is gone in our society. People have knowledge and they've gained wisdom and they've been to school, and yet they know nothing about life. And Solomon said, the discovery of things that I did not know brought me grief, according to verse 17, brought me sorrow and brought me grief and increased my sorrow. He said, all it did was fuel my frustration. So look at chapter 2, we find another thing. Solomon said, all right, so I tried education, I tried discovering new things, and it just fueled my frustration. So go move to chapter 2 now. He said, the second thing I tried was desire. My desires, I tried to fuel those. Look in chapter 2, verse 3. I sought in mine heart to give myself. Now in chapter 1, he gave himself to wisdom. In chapter 2, in verse 3, he said, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. And he goes on to verse 4, down to verse 8, and talks about all the things that he experienced in life. I gave myself to the desires of life. I want to take time to read it. Verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Skip down, if you would please, to verse 9, or excuse me, verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. My heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. Solomon said, I gave myself to discovering new things, to education, to wisdom and knowledge, and it increased my sorrow. It increased my grief. It just fueled my frustration. So Solomon said, I left that. Then I went to the desires of the flesh. In verse 9, he goes on to say, I was great and increased in all that were before me. Verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Anything that was proclaimed that would bring joy and happiness and fulfillment in life, Solomon said, I gave myself wholeheartedly to it. And guess what? Once again, I came up empty. I was frustrated. Nothing satisfied. Nothing brought me peace. Nothing brought contentment. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You find all three of those things in verse 9 down to verse 11. He tried the lust of the eyes, he tried the lust of the flesh, and he tried the pride of life. And Solomon said, I gained all of that, all that my labor had wrought, all of my goods. And Solomon said, it was all vanity. It was all vexation. It was all nothing. It was all unfulfilling. So Solomon said, I gave myself to discovery, to education, to learning and knowledge. It increased my sorrow. I just fueled my frustrations, all I did. So someone said, I moved on to the desires of the flesh and what the world said would satisfy and bring contentment and bring joy in life and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and I was someone. And he says again in chapter 2, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit. 1 John 2, verse 17, it says, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So if we give ourselves to those three things that he gave, verse 9, verse 10, and 11, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, they will never, can I say it again? They will never bring satisfaction. Never. And Solomon said, I had all that you could get. I've heard people say, well, I tried a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Solomon said, I tried all of all there was, and still having all of it, it still brought nothing. It was all vanity. It was all frustration. Chapter 3, if you would. He moves on. He finds discovery is not going to bring contentment in life. He finds the desires of the flesh are not going to bring contentment in life. So chapter 3, look in verse 17. He tries dominion. Look in chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in my heart concerning the estate. Now, let's stop for just a moment. About four times now, we've already read where Solomon said, I said in my heart. Now, is there a red flag going off anywhere? Four times we've read it. I said in my heart. 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 What red flag ought to be going off? What bells and whistles and alarm sounds ought to be going off like crazy right now? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So who is Solomon? He's communing with his heart. Well, the heart's wicked. The heart's deceitful. Let's go ahead and pick up in verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 said, in my heart, concerning the state of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and they might see that they themselves are beasts. For he that fleeth, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. They have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Look in chapter 2, if you would, please, in verse 16. Go back a chapter. Chapter 2, verse 16. He said, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. He said, I tried discovery, I tried the desires of the flesh, I tried dominion, I tried to rule and have power and authority and prestige and fame, and tried to have in authority and have dominion. And he said, I realized that the wise man dies just like the fool man does, just like the fool dies. He says in verse 19, that a man dieth just like the beast, and all is vanity. Verse 20, all going to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Solomon said, I gave myself to being a ruler and dominion, and he said it brought me vanity. I brought no satisfaction from it. Alexander the Great was not satisfied, even when he completely conquered the entire world that he knew at that time. He wept because there were no more worlds to conquer, and he died in an early age in a state of debauchery. Hannibal, who filled three bushels with the gold rings he'd taken from the knights he had slaughtered, committed suicide by swallowing poison. Julius Caesar stained his garments in the blood of 1 million men, conquered 800 cities, only to be stabbed by his best friends at the scene of his greatest triumph. Napoleon, the feared conqueror, after being the terror of Europe, spent his last years in banishment. These men conquered everything, and yet they never conquered themselves. They realized that the dominion of this world would not bring satisfaction. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14. For we must needs die, and all are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet doth he devise means by that his banishment be not expelled from him. 2 Samuel, he said, as we must die, and we're all like water that's spilt on the ground. We go back to the dust, we vanish, and it's as though we never existed. And he said that God is no respecter of persons, no matter what clout you may reach, no matter what position you may hold, no matter what acclaim you may reach in life or fame or fortune, what position that you reach in life, the Bible says that all of us are going to die, just like the fool dies, the wise dies. He said there's no gain in it. Solomon said, I gave myself to discovery, nothing. I gave myself to desires of the flesh, nothing. I gave myself to dominion, to be in charge, to be in control, to be in power, nothing. And Solomon's life is still vanity. Look in chapter 4, if you would please. Solomon also sees that the disappointments in life continue to fuel our frustration. We won't have time to look at all these this evening. But notice in chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 3, he's disappointed with the injustice in life. Verse 1, so I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such are as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore I praise the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen evil work that is done under the sun. Here's what he said, life is unjust. Life's not fair. And the older you live, the more we understand life is not fair. He looks at the injustice of life, and he's again frustrated because life brings disappointment. In verse 4 down to verse 6, life brings insecurity. We'll have time to read that. Look in verse 7 down to verse 12. Life brings isolation. Solomon looks and he says those that in verse 7 down to verse 11, talks about being alone, and verse 9, 2, are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. He talks about isolation and being alone, and Solomon says it's just a frustration of life. In verse 13 and verse 16, he talks about the poor and the wise child and the old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Verse 13 is an interesting verse. He's talking about, he says, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. We get to the place where we can't tell us anything. Verse 16, there is no end of all people, even of all that have been before them. They all go. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So all of a sudden I looked at the things I discovered, nothing. I looked at the things I desired and my body enjoyed, nothing. He said, I looked at the dominion, the things I ruled, the things I was control over, the things I had dominion over. Solomon said nothing. Solomon said, I looked at the disappointments of life, and again, I just felt frustrated. Look in chapter 5, we see the fifth thing that Solomon sees. He said, I looked at the dreams of life. And once again, life was full of frustration. Look in chapter 5, verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. By the way, teenagers, if you would underline the last part of verse 3 in your Bible, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Remember the old saying, it's better to be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt? That's what he's saying in verse 3. Look in verse 7, for the multitude of dreams. He talks about a multitude of dreams in verse 3. He said, verse 7, for the multitude of dreams are many words that are also divers vanities. He talks about divers vanities or various vanities. In other words, in verse chapter 5 is those that are just dreamers. He talks in chapter 5 in verse 4 and in verse 5 about paying a vow. This idea of dreaming is the idea of having no purpose in life or chasing a dream without any fulfillment. It's amazing how many people live life today just chasing a dream. And yet the world promotes that. Chase your dreams. Follow your dreams. Well, you know what Solomon says? It's just vanity. Follow your dreams. Chase your dreams. Go after what seems like will bring you happiness. Solomon says, I'm just telling you, it's nothing. It's just a different form of vanity. That's all it is. Go after dominions, it's vanity. You go after discovery and education, it's vanity. You go after the desires of the flesh, those things that are appealing to our flesh. And Solomon said, it's just vanity. And he said, if you follow after the dreams, those things, whatever things you think is left to fulfill your life, he said, it's all just a different form of vanity. That's all it is. But notice chapter 5 again, verse 7. He ends with this admonition. But fear thou God. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Solomon said, I looked, dominions didn't bring me happiness. Desires didn't bring me happiness. Discovery didn't bring me happiness. Disappointments in life only fueled my frustrations and made life more aggravating and vain and empty. And he said, I followed all the dreams. And he said, that's just a different form of vanity. It's all vanity. But he said one last thing. He said, but fear thou God. In other words, live for God's approval. Listen to what the Bible said in Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who's among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That word stay means to be fixed. It means to be planted. It means to be set. Here's what Isaiah said. The man that is planted, the man that is fixed, the man that is set on his God is the man that is fulfilled in life. Psalm 57 verse 7, I believe it is. The psalmist David said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, O God, on you. Psalmist said, the more we chase in life, the more unfulfilled we're going to be. But the more we fix and set and plant our affections on God and what God wants, he said, that's when fulfillment comes. The wisest man who ever lived said, I gave myself to knowledge and nothing. I gave myself to desires of the flesh, those things that please my flesh and nothing. He said, I gave myself to dominion and being authority and ruler and having dominion. He said, it brought nothing. He said, I looked at the disappointments of life. They brought nothing. He said, I began to chase my dreams outside of the dominions and chase the things that I thought. He said, it's just a different form of vanity. But when I feared God, when I set my affection on him, when I planted my hearts and my desires after his hearts and desires, Solomon said, you know what? I was fulfilled then. But fear thou God. Jonah chapter 2 verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Maybe some of you have been to an amusement park or theme park, and you've gone through that little maze called the House of Mirrors. Y'all remember those? Where everything, and you get in and you think it's the right way, and all these are reflections, and man, next thing you're lost. And it seems like in every way, this is the way out. He was talking the other night about the corn maze. I think Brother Brian was talking about that last Wednesday night. And that house of mirrors, and life under the sun, life in this society is like a house of mirrors. Every reflection, every turn promises satisfaction and fulfillment and contentment in life. And Solomon says, I tried all of them to their fullest capacity. And Solomon said, they all brought me nothing. But when I begin to fear God, when I begin to set my affection and plant my heart and set my life toward him and his will, Solomon said, then my life was fulfilling. But outside of that, it was just vanity. It was just chasing another dream. It was just different, diverse vanities. They that observe lying vanities. I don't tell you that vanities will lie to you. They will lie to you all day long. The world will tell you, by the way, we're talking about discovery. The first thing that Satan tempted Eve with was knowledge. If you'll eat of the fruit, you will know like God knows. And there's never been a society who's been more, that has pushed knowledge and education more than our society does. And yet, it's just vanity. I'm not saying education is not important. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying just chasing after knowledge does not bring contentment in life. It's all vanity. Solomon said, when I feared God, then life became purposeful and meaningful.